you see. One for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, y'all, let's rock this. You see, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on. Speech is my hammer, bang the world in a shape, now let it fall.
Välkomna till AMK Hip Hop History, avsnitt 2 med professor Jonathan Rollins.
Glad to be here.
The whitest professor from Indiana University.
Where hip hop began.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to you about hip hop.
Hip hop and Larry Bird.
Yeah. Jonathan lär mig om hiphopens historia och hur musiken har utvecklats. Vi pratar om musik främst. Vi säger det. Vi pratar om rap.
Right.
I stort sett. Yeah. Vi lämnar de andra elementen till en annan en annan serie. Vi pratar om rappens utveckling och vi har pratat om hur det började med sent 70-tal och DJs och de samplade äldre låtar och gjorde en egen grej av det och rappare kom in och rappade på samplingar.
Yeah.
Och skivbolag kom in och gjorde det mer kommersiellt och nu har det börjat spridas genom 80-talet så började det spridas till södern och till andra delar av USA.
Yeah.
Och nu har vi kommit fram till tidigt 90-tal när västkusten i USA börjar komma in i hiphop på riktigt.
Yeah. And then there could have been some music before then that I just didn't know about because music it didn't spread like it does now.
Ja, just det.
So what I would learn about new music through the radio and through like music videos.
När var första gången du hörde talas om västkust rap?
I saw a video, NWA video. Okay. My dad was a big NWA fan.
Det också?
And, yeah, man. He liked my dad was kind of a he talked the radical talk, the you know, black power radical stuff.
Okay.
Well, we didn't mention Public Enemy earlier, but my dad was big into them too.
Just det.
Yeah, that was another. Yeah, the political black stuff. Yeah.
Just det.
So to him, NWA was shining a light on stuff that needed to be talked about.
Men det fanns politisk hiphop innan NWA kom in.
Yeah.
Hiphop har väl varit socialt medveten hela tiden i min uppfattning, va?
Men it's not every artist. The popular artists weren't the ones that were they weren't the ones that were socially conscious normally.
Nej.
People didn't want to hear that shit. People wanted to dance.
Just
a
det.
Lot of times.
Just
so,
det. Men det hade funnits socialt eller politiskt medveten hiphop innan NWA. Men vad var det som gjorde att NWA stack ut ändå?
They had Fuck the Police.
It
was one reason.
Men jag tänker Public Enemy hade ju Fuck the Police också in a sense.
Yeah, but it wasn't direct. Like, nah. The hook is Fuck the Police.
Yeah. For Public Enemy hade Fuck the Police, but kind of between the lines.
Yeah, like the Public Enemy had like the police, the system is set up against us, and the new overseers are the police.
Yeah, yeah.
But NWA had
fuck
the police.
The
in case you don't hear me in the back,
yeah, yeah.
Fuck the police.
Yeah.
so that was the difference. And they were called NWA.
Yeah.
NWA stands for Niggas with Attitude.
Just that.
And that just was cool. They wore black all the time. They were like a perfectly packaged product for. For me,
yes,
as a kid, and for my dad, like he would play it for me because it was like to him, it was also a political statement.
Is that?
But I don't think NWA was trying to make a political statement. I think they were just trying to be like, yo, because I mean, they're just, you know, showing what the life was out there.
Is that?
You know, these other people were like the message or whatever. They're talking about the community, but the thing nobody's talking about is, you know. They're really trying to fucking, you know, there's crooked cops out here.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Ja, det känns lite som en förlängning av Black Panther Party eller det som hände i Oakland tidigare 60-talet och tidigt 70-tal kanske. Civil Rights Movement och så. Alltså,
The Watts Riots, that stuff is right over there too.
Just det. Någon typ av musikalisk tolkning av av de sociala grejerna som skedde. Vad är det här? Höj lite.
Fuck the police. It's just so hard, you know, so like in your face.
tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help your black ass.
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police. Coming straight from the underground.
A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on.
This is real, man.
Vad kan man säga om det här liksom, var rytmiskt och musikaliskt och så? Var liksom, vad kan man säga om själva musiken, om man tar bort budskapet?
I think it's like, it's Dr. Dre making it. So he started out with the whole thing, like the way Kool Herc and them were doing it. And he's like if it was a different era, he would have been a Mozart, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Beethoven type guy, you know, or this era, Avicii type, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those people that are musical geniuses with it.
På vilket sätt var han?
It's like he puts it all together so well.
Okay.
And intricately can put this music together. I mean, this sounds like a fresh production,
mm-hmm.
even though it's limited with equipment back then. Like he's doing that with, you know, even the little listen to that little guitar strum. And then the music changes for the hook. I mean, this is early stuff when you think about it. It's pretty advanced. Like, where does he put, that little guitar string strum in there like that? I think it's really, really good musically. And I think that's what helped propel them too, is that they got this guy doing stuff nobody's ever heard of. And then they're doing something nobody's ever heard of as well. They're rapping on top with saying stuff people don't say.
Yes, them.
And just like when Trump and these guys talking coded language to racist white people, they're talking in coded language that white people might not understand, or middle class white people might not understand. So they're talking to us.
Ta ett exempel.
Like when they're talking about fuck the police, when they're talking about stuff like that.
But that's not, is that coded? That's like fuck the
police.
No, I'm
saying, but like we can relate. I
understand.
They hear it and they're like, what?
Oh, he's done.
And we're like, that's what I've been talking about.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
So this was like, I guess coded is the wrong word. It's not hidden, but it's like we can really relate and we can get on board with these guys that are telling the truth. And it's good music on top of
that. Det svänger.
So, yeah.
Det är som alltså, när de samplar Express Yourself tycker jag är, fan vad det svänger.
Yeah.
Jag blir så jävla glad. Alltså det är väl ett bra beat från början, men sen när de lägger på sig, spela lite Express Yourself. För det är någonting med, det är en skitbra låt i grunden, men när de samplar den. Man blir glad. Because he said it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express, yo, I don't smoke weed or cess, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing. Can't be smoking weed and MCing. And then he produced Snoop. Yeah. I retract my statement.
Unfortunately, The Chronic is not on Spotify.
Ah, okay.
Dr. Dre's album, The Chronic.
Here's them.
So that's not on Spotify. I couldn't put any of that. But that's if anybody wants to hear some, when West Coast jumps on this, or besides NWA, but West Coast really puts their stamp on music and took over for a few years. It starts with The Chronic.
Okay.
Because Dr. Dre leaves NWA. People might know about that little thing.
Ja, om man har sett film. Man bör se filmen i alla fall.
Då, yeah,
då får man en bild av lite hur det går till i alla fall.
Yeah, for the West Coast, yeah.
Men för det var, för de blev signade till ett mindre bolag först, och så slog de igenom skitstort. Och sen
Eazy-E was getting over.
Ja, yeah. Just det.
According to that side of the story, he was getting over.
Ja, och sen startade de eget, och sen startade de Death Row.
Yeah, he started Death Row Records with Suge Knight.
Ja, just det.
But all of this, that's more, that's 90s. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this is when the West Coast starts taking over, man.
Mm. Och så NWA var väl, kan man säga att de var startskottet för västkust hiphop?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, oh, they, oh, these guys are doing something in Cali.
Okay.
The hood isn't only New York, you know.
Just det.
And then.
Och vad händer sen då, när de slår igenom? De bereder väg för andra då, eller?
Yeah, because the West Coast started getting like respect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like all we know is Hollywood. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're in Florida, you hear about California, you know Disneyland, Hollywood. You don't know about fucking, oh shit, Compton. Yeah, these guys are straight out of Compton.
And then Snoop
comes on, and that's just a whole nother level.
Oh, just det.
Like a lyricist, so smooth on like these funky beats. You know, there's no Dr. Dre on the East Coast. These dudes are still fucking breaking and whatnot. So he pushed production in another. Obviously, he's one of the best, if not the best, hip hop producers of all time. He pushed production big time.
Mm.
So you had to bring it if you're gonna. Can fuck with Dr. Dre. And I think that was the main thing when you think about the West Coast.
Just that.
I could play a little bit of Gin and Juice, which was a fucking smooth ass song, Snoop Dogg, you know about that.
Den var på. Nej, den var på hans debutalbum, va?
Yeah, Doggy Style.
Producerad av Dre, såklart.
Yeah. Like the beat, I mean, it's. This beat, if it came out today, he would be like, whoa!
Mm.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I, somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for
the team? Det här är 93, va?
Might be 92.
Yeah,
something like that.
Okay.
Early 90s. I got bitches in the living room. Getting it on and. Yeah, so that's
six,
of course.
In the morning.
Exactly. So
men det som var tidstypiskt för den där var väl den här det här i bakgrunden där ljudet.
Yeah.
Det var nästan i varje låt han gjorde då.
Yeah. That was his thing, man. Yeah. It's crazy to think that he produced this guy. I mean, it's Snoop, he produced NWA, which is already a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
He produced Eminem.
Just det.
Completely different sound.
Uh-huh.
And then produced 50 Cent.
Just
different sound.
Uh-huh.
And Game and 50 Cent, that sounds like kind of, I guess that was the Dr. Dre era of sound of that era.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, Dr. Dre, man, amazing.
Ja, han förtjänar såklart att nämnas i, definitivt under den här eran, som väldigt tongivande.
Yeah, and if we're talking about this time on the East Coast, there's not much happening, as far as I recall. I was in the South. You had a little bit of in like early 90s. There was kind of a lull.
Okay.
Like between that the break beat sound.
Och varför vem var det som liksom var den, vad ska man säga, under den här eran, vem var den sista stora från östkusten? Vem var stor då runt 90?
Feels like around there, LL Cool J. He's
just
big. He probably was the one wearing the throne at the time.
Okay.
Then you had, I mean, you had the people that were lyricists that were respected that we talked about last episode, like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane. So, but they weren't, once Snoop and these guys came out, or Dr. Dre and the West Coast, when they hit, it kind of drowned out.
Okay.
Because that shit was like, you know, everybody wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
And back then it was about record sales.
Easter.
So it was kind of East Coast was kind of treading water trying to figure it out.
Okay.
The South had. Well, actually, I always got to play probably my favorite hip hop song. Have you ever heard the song 93 Till Infinity?
Jag vet inte. Av vem?
Souls of Mischief.
Jag vet inte.
Souls of Mischief 93 Till Infinity. And it's another, it's West Coast doing their thing. Right now, yo, we gonna up you on how we just chill. Dial the 7 digits, call up Bridget. I just love this shit, man. It's like that flow, that time. This song just puts me in that time.
Okay.
That early 90s. Chill. And this is right in the midst of that gangster stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity. We'll put it on the playlist.
Ja, visst. De är också från västkusten, alltså.
Yeah, okay. Oakland. The Oakland.
Ah.
The hook goes 93. This is how we... Oh, they're rapping too much. This is how we chill for 93.
Va, den här tiden är väl... Naughty by Nature slog väl igenom den här tiden också?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
De var väl... De blev väl jättestora?
They're from Philly, yeah.
De är från Philly, okej.
Okay. Yeah, they're not West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Naughty by Nature, some Philly dudes.
Och det var väl...
No, Jersey. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Them dudes from the fucking hoodie hood hood.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna put them on it, but that was kind of... That was early 90s, yeah. That was the thing. It was kind of... I don't know, OPP or Hip Hop Array? I don't know. It's like...
I say OPP.
Okay. That was early... That was what, 92 maybe?
Oh, visst.
I remember dancing to this shit, man.
Oh, visst.
This song took over.
Oh.
But this was more like a pop rap.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were doing, man. The record label when they picked this one.
Ja, men man märker verkligen så det här kan potentiellt sälja mycket. Det här är en poplåt. Det här är en hit.
And that's the thing with this time, you had the radio hits and stuff. And I would hear that a lot because this wasn't just, I mean, in America they have the hip-hop station, R&B station, pop station, techno station, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And this would be on all of them. Everything but country. They're okay. Playing fucking Naughty by Nature, OPP. Everybody knew. So old people start saying, when you see an old white lady dancing to this at a basketball game,
yeah.
That's when you know it's gone too far. It's like, oh, they made it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was OPP. In that time, to me, it's one of the classic times of hip hop, you know, because it spreads or of rap. First of all, I was about 10 years old now.
Is that?
So I'm falling into that target audience range.
Is that?
Where record labels are, they want me to buy their shit, you know, mm-hmm. or ask my mom to buy their shit.
Yeah.
So I made a playlist a while ago that I want to look at. Because I made a playlist, because there's like party rap music.
Mm-hmm.
It's hitting the scene right now. So songs like This Is How We Do It.
Just det.
That's this era.
Ja, just det.
You know, I'm sure all of the listeners.
Jag tänker på Fresh Prince, Boom, Shake the Room. That's kind of just det.
That's this shit. I'll just skip through a few of them. There's this fucking...
Ah, såklart. Men vänta, det här är lite senare, va? Inte det?
Yeah, it's around... What's this, 94 maybe? 93? Mm.
Ah,
94
is
around...
Ah,
when I think of when hip-hop goes party...
Just det.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
It started party.
Ja, just det.
Then it gets more technical. Mm-hmm. Then it goes back to party.
Right.
This is what's happening
in
the mainstream.
Just det.
And then the whole NWA is going on at the same time. So,
DJ Lethal. Eller vad heter de?
House of Pain?
House of Pain, såklart. From Boston, eller hur?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Ever. What's the name? Everlast?
Everlast och... var det inte DJ... Nej, det var kanske var Everlast. Jag tror att DJ Lethal var med i House of Pain.
Maybe, I don't know.
Som sen gick över till... vad fan heter de? Det är dumma jävla bandet.
Från
Florida.
St. Clampus? No,
with the guitars. Fred Durst.
Limp Bizkit. Oh, yeah, because I knew that Eminem had beef with DJ Lethal. That's what I
think
about it.
Just det. Jag tror att det var något sånt. Det finns någon connection där mellan...
So this is going on at the same time as the West Coast is taking, quote-unquote, real rap forward.
Just det.
Respectable rap is that... This other stuff is radio hits. I mean, it's still stuff, but it's like... I don't know any other House of Pain songs.
No, I don't
know. I never had their album.
Nah.
I never listened to their album.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Montel Jordan, I mean. He's an R&B singer, as a matter of fact. But this is how he do it. It's an R&B song, but that would be considered under hip-hop jam.
Okay.
He kind of raps on it.
Det är klart.
He's like Drake before Drake.
Ja, just det. Nej, det är klart. Men det är väl sån... alltså, det är väl också en sån... typisk... alltså... den här kan vi få in överallt, alltså House of Pain, det är sån, det är hiphop i grunden, men det är ganska, det är lite vitt, det är lite Irish.
Pop, yeah. A little Irish, yeah.
I mean, de kör hela sin Boston white boy grej. Alltså, man kan lätt se att den spelas på liksom NBA-arenor
yes.
i pausen liksom,
yes.
hela tiden.
Still, yes.
Speciellt i Boston. LA.
Probably. But yeah, there's we're still West Coast stuff, mm-hmm. like Regulator. You know about that, right?
Ja, ja. Vad heter han?
Warren G.
Warren G, som är det är någon kusin till
He's Dr. Dre's cousin?
Ja, or, något sånt där, va?
Yeah, he's one of their cousins.
Just det.
But that, I mean, and then, I mean, we could do a whole podcast about Nate Dogg's contribution to hip-hop.
Just det.
But this shit. Regulate any stealing of his
property. We're damn good. Vilket år var det här? But you can't be any geek
off the street. This has to be 94. Okay. Yeah, it's 94.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the West Coast just don't stop, man. Mm. That's how you feel when this comes. It's like, oh.
Fortfarande, det här är producerat av Dr. Dre också, eller?
I don't know, I think so. But this is that Michael McDonald in the background.
But var det här, det här måste vara tiden när Death Row bara pumpade ut.
Yeah.
Alltså det var skiva på skiva på skiva hela tiden.
They were like
tiden.
No limit. This was, they were fucking people up too.
Ja. Ja, de flesta känner igen storyn om när Suge Knight hängde ut någon genom ett...
Vanilla Ice, right?
Var det Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
Och tvingade honom att skriva på någon typ av release-kontrakt eller att skriva på någonting.
Yeah, when did Vanilla Ice come out? That's another, it's the whole era, the pop.
Just pop era. Yeah. Ja, men det var väl då, kan det ha varit 90?
Maybe 91.
Ja, någonstans där.
Yeah, so all of this is, yeah, it's gone commercial. It's official.
But, jag hoppades att vi kunde slippa prata om Vanilla Ice.
Oh, we men, can definitely skip it. I don't have to talk. Even though he's from Miami, you know, he's not our proudest.
Nej, just det. Det är alltid en.
1990, Ice Ice Baby.
Det är som att det finns alltid en som man måste be om ursäkt för.
Have you heard when he's talking about...
We are on behalf of the people of Miami, we apologize for Vanilla Ice.
We want to move him to Indiana, where he belongs.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you, did you hear that when he was talking about that he samples for Ice Ice Baby, they sample Under Pressure,
mm-hmm.
Queen. And he's they were gonna go to court about it
because
they didn't pay royalties.
Okay,
and he was like, no, it's not the same. Theirs goes doom 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 doom. Ours goes doom 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 doom.
Ah, fucking idiot.
So stupid, man. Anyway, that's enough about Vanilla Ice. He's not count.
Men det var den tiden också. Det var tidigt 90-tal.
Yeah.
Och man blev inte av med den låten på 2 år, tror jag. Det var varje dag i 2 år.
Really? Was it like that here too?
Oh ja. Det var galet vad mycket den spelades.
But then came, there was like a fusion of rap and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And on the East Coast, while the West Coast is booming like that, this little skinny guy that's a backup dancer starts his own thing, P. Diddy.
Oh.
It's up in, well, first he was with Uptown Records, got Heavy D, they're doing their thing, but they're still not touching, you know, the West Coast. But then Biggie Smalls comes along.
Okay.
With that whole movement with Mary J. Blige, where there's kind of a blend of hip-hop and rap, and then Biggie Smalls just... comes out and everybody loves that shit. This is 1994. So, I mean, with Biggie, I don't even know where to begin. He was my favorite rapper for a long time. He just didn't put enough music out to still be considered the best.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much everybody knows this shit. This album is dedicated, man, to all the teachers. You know about this, right?
That lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the
police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my dog. Yeah, but he was great. And he brought, I mean, lyricism was back when Biggie in that time, like the East Coast came back. So you had Biggie, you had Nas, and then Jay-Z comes a little bit after. But this is when it was about lyricism again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the East Coast, West Coast beef begins.
Just that.
And then Tupac's in and out of jail. Probably, you know, and then he get...
Ja, vi måste prata om det. Vi måste ta det som en från början. Men yeah. Biggie slog igenom innan Tupac. För var det, eller?
Nah, Tupac came out. Tupac was out with... Tupac wasn't on Death Row
nej,
at
nej.
First. So Tupac had like Brenda's Got a Baby and stuff like that. Tupac started out on the East Coast. Tupac was from the East Coast. His first time ever like hanging out around the rap thing was Digital Underground. You know about them?
Jag har hört namnet, men jag vet inte så mycket om dem.
Digital, these guys, Digital Underground is kind of a party rap group. You know, West Coast. I think they're from Oakland, and they had, you know, the Humpty Dance.
Med han med lösnäsan, eller?
Yeah.
I do the Humpty Humpty.
Yeah, that's Shock G. It's Humpty, and that was their biggest one. But they had a song called Kiss You Back. Tupac has a song called I Get Around. Sounds almost the same. But Tupac was out, but he didn't have the beef yet.
Okay.
But this is the Humpty Dance. I'm about to ruin. It's another party track.
I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see. So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather around. I'm the new fool. Det här känns, alltså när man lyssnar på det här är typ, det här är också tidigt 90-tal, eller?
Ja. Yeah.
För det känns som att, yeah.
But, Tupac had,
för det känns som att det här är liksom blivit, hiphop har utvecklats och så här, bra hiphop har gått förbi det här.
Yeah.
Men det här är fortfarande liksom, det här blev en hit.
Yeah.
Det här känns som att den skulle kunna komma ut 88.
Ja. Yeah.
Men den är 6 år gammal. Yeah. Alltså, den är 6 år sen i
utvecklingen. Exactly, they were kind of stuck in the rut, man. The producers took it to the next level.
Just det.
Tupac, the first song I heard of Tupac was this one. You know this one? And Digital Underground's on it.
Ja, just det. Det här har jag hört.
I Get Around. But this is on this album that came out in 93. Strictly okay. For My Niggas. So this he's out and he's doing this and that's before Biggie pops onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So like the I don't know what you want to talk about with the beef, just how it happened. I don't know.
Ja, för det var Biggie och Tupac som var huvudpersonerna i right. den eller
vad
yeah. Well, kan man säga det?
Yeah, because Tupac was the biggest on the West.
Just det.
And Biggie was the biggest on the East. Biggie was credited with bringing back the East.
Because
the West kind of had it on lock.
Yes, then.
If you listen to Common has a song called I Used to Love Her,
where
he talks about rap music as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard it?
No, I don't know.
He talks about rap music as a woman and how she's grown and how she's changed over the times.
So,
and then she in the song, she goes to the West Coast and she changes. And, you know, she starts talking about 40s and gangbangs and shit like that. And then, you know, she keeps moving on. And that started a little beef between Ice Cube and Common.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that one of the best diss tracks ever is Common, The Bitch in You, destroys Ice Cube.
Oh.
You wouldn't expect that. No. If you hear that Common and Ice Cube had a beef, you wouldn't expect that Common wins.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So that was just the thing. Like, it changed when it went west. Everybody knew that was, you know, the control of the music was West Coast. And then Biggie is credited with bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
The fat, ugly dude comes in and saves the day, you know what I mean? And puts the East Coast back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, there's also Outkast
is
out in the South. They're doing their thing around this time. Scarface is on his solo thing. He's doing his thing, and then so there's it's really spread out now, but the West Coast is still running until Biggie comes along.
Okay, so vad händer med den här? Det blir en varför blir en beef och hur ser den ut? Så här, hur tar den sin början?
Well, it basically started with just jealousy and envy, I guess. Death Row was on top, and they didn't like somebody coming for the throne. That's basically what it comes down to, and hip-hop, it began like that with the braggadocious stuff. MCing begins with braggadocious. The first MCs, they talk about how good they are, how much money they got, how many girls they get.
Mm.
All of this shit is braggadocious. And then it just was, they're saying we're the best. And then here comes these dudes saying we're the best. And people are acknowledging the Biggie, man. Fucking One More Chance. And Juicy. And these songs are good. So then Suge Knight is always in the background. And then P. Diddy is the opposite. He's the one. He's dancing in videos and shit, and you know, right up there next to the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And Suge Knight mentioned it at the award. You probably saw that when he comes up there accepting an award, and he's like come to Death Row Records if you don't want your producer dancing in the videos and coming in all your shows and taking up, come to Death Row Records.
Oh, okay.
And he did that in New York.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was like, what the fuck? You know, Wu-Tang Clan is there. We didn't talk about them yet. But everybody's like, what the fuck is happening? You know, there's a whole, like, a problem with that. And that's okay. When, like, it becomes Death Row versus Bad Boy.
Mm-hmm.
In which they were calling it East Coast rap versus West Coast
okay.
rap. So then Tupac is on that diss track. That's considered probably the best diss track of all time.
Men hur mycket tror du att alla var ganska nöjda med att det var en konflikt? Jag tänker att det säljer väldigt mycket.
Yeah.
En konflikt säljer ju alltid. Drama säljer.
Yeah. I took a side myself. And I was like, I'm East Coast, baby. Miami's on the East Coast. I don't fuck with Tupac. I don't fuck with Snoop. None of that. I was just like, even Snoop says it when he comes out. They start booing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, y'all don't love Snoop? It's like, he said it's a crazy, I think it was the Source Awards.
Yeah.
Crazy shit, man. He comes out, he's like, y'all don't love Snoop? Y'all don't love Dr. Dre?
Mm-hmm.
Say, how y'all boo him? And then people start giving him cheers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. My bad, Snoop.
You know? Yeah.
Everybody loves Snoop.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turned into a thing. And I was like, fuck it, too. So I was listening to only Biggie, Jay-Z,
mm-hmm.
and all of that shit for a few years.
Jag tänker att man får, alltså, alla konflikter säljer på något sätt. Så
yeah,
att,
definitely. Så även, like wrestling.
Ja, precis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tupac had Strictly for My Niggas, he had Tupacalypse, and then he had All Eyes on Me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all like back-to-back albums, pretty much.
Just that.
He had a large catalog of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because he's going to jail all the time. So it's, how does this motherfucker do this? And Biggie only put out two albums. But Tupac dies in 95.
Just det. Ja, det var en stor grej också. Han blev skjuten i Vegas efter en Mike Tyson fight. Var inte det?
Yeah. And Biggie died in 97.
Just det.
Yeah. So.
Och ingen av de morden är lösta än.
Nah. I want to say... Let me check. I don't want to be wrong about Tupac's death. That's a lot of music in such a short amount of time.
Mm.
But yeah, he died in 96. Okay, that makes more sense. He died in 96. He dropped two more albums between 93 and 96, so that makes more sense.
Just him.
He died September 96. Biggie dies March 9th of 97.
Mm.
So, and then Biggie dropped a classic album right before he died. So, I was really sad when Biggie died.
Mm.
I was sad when Tupac died too. Mm. It was just crazy. Yeah.
Ja, man tänker för att jag har aldrig blivit så man känner aldrig så här personligt för den människan. Man tänker så här, man missar mycket bra musik när någon dör så ung.
Yeah.
Man tänker så här, de kunde ha haft i alla fall 5-6 bra skivor som man kunde ha funnits om de bara hade.
What would have happened to rap? Like I think about that a lot. What happens to rap if Biggie, because it was almost like a lull after that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bad Boy tried to continue on, but it's like, what, is Mace going to carry the torch?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then rap kind of fell off a bit. I still had the, you know, rappers like Mos Def that I listened to, and that was like the conscious rap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mos Def, Talib Kweli, those guys like that, they're talking about socially conscious things, but you didn't have that. Like Biggie, like, if you listen to Life After Death, I recommend that to all your listeners. Listen to Life After Death. I feel like I've watched a movie when I hear the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's two discs. Mm-hmm. Who's doing that now?
Uh-huh.
It's a two-disc album, just straight up classic by Biggie. And it's just like, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wasn't a huge Tupac fan, but you can't dispute some of his music. I want to play one of his songs, actually.
Absolutely.
Ambitions as a Rider is my favorite Tupac song. And it's on the All Eyes on Me album. But the shit, this beat is crazy. Pretty sure it's Dr. Dre. This is crazy. I want to go. Fast forward a little bit. But I think his rhyme scheme is a lot more simple than Biggie's.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's what that was always my thing. Because as a rapper myself, I liked like when somebody really, really good lyrics, like Nas. That's why I was more drawn to the East Coast.
Houston.
Because those guys, to me, they touched me. It affected me more hearing these guys with the lyricism, like Nas and Biggie and Jay-Z.
Ska vi prata om Nas och Jay-Z? För att det var, det är väl, det, så, alltid när jag hör om Nas så är jag väl betraktad som en av de största vad gäller texter och bars. Liksom.
Well, he's got a classic, what everybody considers a classic album, Illmatic. And like the beats are nice too. I mean, it's kind of in a time capsule though, mm-hmm. I think, because it's like I don't know. It still feels like the 90s when you hear it. Like, yeah, this. Fake niggas don't make it back. But he's just good. Like when he's the way he's rapping on it, it's like nobody was doing that before. I guess. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking. Musician inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See with the pen, I'm extreme. Now bullet holes left in my peepholes. I'm suited up with street clothes. Hand me a 9 and out the beat flows. Y'all know my steelo, with or without the airplay. I keep some E and J sitting bent up in the stairway or either on the corner. Yeah, so he's like, that's another level of rap, and he's kind of trying to paint a picture. And I think Biggie takes it to the next level with the way he does it, with like missing sense of humor. I think Nas tries to be smart, and that's where he fucks up, because I don't think he's smart. But that's just my personal thing about Nas. He's still one of the best ever. Even this album that came out a few months ago, he still got it. So they're the one with Kanye produced it. Yeah, so of course Nas and Jay-Z had their beef in the early 2000s, though. That was a lot later.
Vad var det för något? För båda är New York, va?
Yeah. It was just, what was it about? I don't know what it started. Why it started. I just remember I was into it, though, because it was 2001 was the first time I heard a song about it.
Okay.
Jay-Z's album that's considered a classic is a Blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a song called Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second track on that album. And it's not on Spotify. But he goes directly at Nas, man. Talking shit about Nas. And then Nas comes out with Ether, which is consider one of the best diss tracks, so goes at him. But they made sure it never got like came off wax. You know, they never got physical with each other. Later, Nas signs to Jay-Z's record label. You know?
Oh, okay.
When Jay-Z was the head of Def Jam, he signed Nas.
Mm.
So it's.
Men när slog Nas igenom? När var hans första?
92 maybe 94.
Ah, var så tidigt alltså?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. I want to say 94 was when Illmatic comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have the time on here.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure Illmatic comes out in 94 because I was. Yeah. 94, April 19th.
Okay.
1994. Yeah. So Illmatic comes out, and that's when the East Coast is making that comeback, though.
Just that. So they were Biggie, or Sam Biggie, Nas, or Sam JC.
Jay-Z comes a little bit after. Oh, okay. That, so they brought the Thunder, man. But the West Coast, after Tupac dies, West Coast kind of, as far as I remember, it kind of fell off a little bit in the late 90s.
Just that.
Yeah, I was almost like music kind of had a little bit of a like a mourning period in rap.
Ja, just det.
Yeah, so.
Ja, man fick den känslan lite grann. Jag var inte så involverad förutom det man såg på MTV och kanske läste lite grann i tidningar och så. Men det var som att det var någon typ av det var låg något som en tung filt över hiphop sen Tupac blev skjuten och sen när Biggie dog också så blev det, allting blev bara så allting blev tungt, allting blev mörkt, allting blev,
it felt like that. And then
det var inte många partylåtar som kom ut vid den tiden.
But I think rap went into a gangster like a because of the success of the West Coast and because of Biggie and Tupac and the beef and stuff like that. I think people thought the next step was to just stay street and stay gangster, stay quote unquote real.
Okay.
And I think it just went to where all rap was like that. instead of not all rap, but some rap that was like, you know, Will Smith started going by Will Smith, no more Fresh Prince.
Is it?
He was still the no curse policy and still making kind of poppy songs.
Mm.
There was still like Mace still trying to do his Bad Boy stuff, but I can't see anybody carrying the torch like that after those guys.
Men så vad ska man säga, Nas, Jay-Z och Diddy i form av även producent eller
Nas didn't produce.
Skivbolags.
Nas never produced.
No, jag menar inte vad heter han, P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Han var mer av en producent, va?
Yeah, artist. Really. He had an album, but it was just when Biggie died, he kind of did the whole the family thing.
Just det.
He's more behind the scenes. And he had Hit Factory is the name of his production company that makes the music. So I don't know how involved Diddy is in it.
Mm.
He's just a great marketing guy, I think.
Just det.
So he'll twist the buttons when the camera's on.
jag har fått den känslan också att han är duktig affärsman, men han är inte den kreativa kraften i produktionen.
I could be wrong, but that's how I feel about it. Like he started as a backup dancer, and then, but he's got an eye and an ear for talent.
Mm. So. Men det jag hörde om Diddy var att han växte ju upp, alltså hans pappa var en riktig hustler. Hans pappa var en riktig street hustler.
I didn't know that.
Han hade du vet the numbers, when you're playing the numbers.
Oh, running numbers?
Han var jag tror att han kom från Harlem.
Yeah, he does.
Ran the numbers like on the street.
Oh wow.
Han var riktig sån riktig gatu hustler. Så han växte upp i den miljön och bara tänkte
I got so much respect for people. I know it's quote unquote illegal, but I got so much respect for those people that hustle like that. I think it's interesting and I know I would never do it like that. I mean, I guess I'm hustling in a different sense, but nothing illegal.
No, we all hustle.
Right, we grinding.
På något sätt, men nej, det där var...
A lot of respect to those guys that do it like that.
Ja, nej, så han var... Vad jag har hört, jag kan ha fel också, men jag hörde att han växte upp där och kanske tog den mentaliteten till nästa nivå eller till en mer så här, corporate media nivå. För han var ju otroligt skicklig på det där. Alltså marknadsför artister och alltså P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Men så vad ska vi för nu kommer vi in på den här eran med Jay-Z som också var en stor.
Yeah, now we're with Jay-Z.
Hur slog han igenom?
He's got a track. He had an album that didn't get as much publicity back then, but it's called Reasonable Doubt.
Just det.
And that's the one he says on another song, should have went triple, because it really should have been a triple platinum album.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. And Biggie's on there.
Okay.
And then he's got, his songs with Biggie are good. It's like, they're rapping like the two greats. You know what I mean? They're going back and forth. And he's on I Love the Dough, a song with Biggie, where they're just braggadocious the whole time talking about this and that, and Jay-Z is on there hanging with Biggie lyrically, and you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
So I think that's what kind of put him. He was the next in line. He got a lot of flack for using a lot of Biggie lines in his rap.
Okay.
He uses a lot of lines from other rappers too, from classic hip hop quotables. He'll use them in his lyrics.
Hur är det betraktat? Är det lite så off limits att göra det eller?
No.
Det är helt okej att göra det.
No, I mean Nas tried to use that as something against them in their beef.
Okay.
But nobody's gonna doubt that Jay-Z is one of the best.
No.
So he was able to do it. The audacity to do it too. Mm-hmm. Like fuck it, I'll use a Biggie line and still make this. He said it to Nas. You made it a hot line. I made it a hot song. So because he uses a Nas sample in Dead Presidents.
Okay.
It's a really good song.
Så det är helt okej. Alltså det betraktas det på samma sätt som att sampla en beat musik som att sampla en rad.
Yeah. He just take a line and then he'll just keep going. And, like what's the song with him and Pharrell? one of his party songs, like, because Jay-Z, that was his thing. He would have a hot club banger every summer.
Okay.
And he would say, I won this summer. I won that summer. Six summers in a row, I won. You know what I mean?
Can we talk, när började det?
Ah, shit. It had to be like 96. When did Big Pimp, like Big Pimpin? You know that song?
Oh, yeah, absolut. Spela lite.
Big Pimpin comes to mind. Heart Knock Life.
Just det.
Big Pimpin might not be on here.
Ja, just det, för att det är Spotify.
Jay-Z took all his music off.
Just det. Ta YouTube då.
Okay.
Big Pimpin,
Hard Knock Life.
Hard Knock Life. But 99 Problems, en av dem stora.
I wouldn't say that's a summer.
Nah, okay.
But he had Give It To Me.
Okay.
That sweet, that funky stuff. You know that one?
I tror det.
I'm probably singing it wrong. That video is crazy, Big Pimpin. And UGK's on there. I didn't mention them. That's another Southern group that's just like, go and listen to UGK. These guys were good.
Var kommer det ifrån?
Houston.
Okay.
They're another Texas. Big Pimpin' spinning cheese. This is still goes hard. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuffs gonna freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama, better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need... Skipping on to the next one.
Of course.
Oh, man. This was the one that put him on the map for real.
Mm-hmm. Och det här är 97, 98. Någonting, eller?
Hard Knock Life has to be 96, 97.
Oh, okay. Some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard. From the dope spot with the
smoke block, clinging the murder scene. You know me well from night. I used to bump that, man. And then one more. See, this is like, what, three summers in a row? Oh, just the video, that's the one. I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. Lil' Kim's in the video? I didn't know that. Back when she looked like a human being.
Wait a minute, I shouldn't be so high on that boy.
John Wooden. Yeah. But yeah, Lil' Kim's in the beginning. I didn't know that.
Oh, I
see. She still looked good back then.
Huh.
Now she looks like Jigsaw.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about any female rappers. I guess we'll
Nej,
do
jag
that
tänker,
last.
Jag vet inte om vi ska göra ett helt avsnitt om det och bara gå igenom.
Yeah, we should do that.
Ja, det kanske är lika bra.
Yeah.
Och bara ta ett avsnitt tillägnat det, för det... För då kan vi gå igenom 80-, 90-talet och 00-talet. För att, är det inte så? Alltså det, de flesta artister är väl män i hiphop, va?
Yeah, most of them. Uh-huh. And most of the music is misogynistic, uh-huh. sexist, uh-huh. all that stuff as well. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's an unfortunate truth.
Uh-huh.
But there's, if we're still dealing with chronological, going from Jay-Z... I said the next one that kind of... Jay-Z, I think he was good all the way, you know, he was popular. Once he got popular, he stayed popular.
Yes, sir.
His music was still reaching people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the next thing was 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the next one that came in big in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent went hard with the mixtapes and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
But the whole game was kind of open
because
you had people like Ludacris, pop onto the scene. I mentioned UGK, but them being on Big Pimpin' was huge for them too.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast, I mentioned them as well. This is all 90s and respected groups. Wu-Tang.
Just det. Ja, de måste ju nämnas såklart. De var väldigt inflytelserika på 90-talet.
Arguably one of the best rappers of all time is Ghostface Killah.
Okay.
From Wu-Tang Clan.
Just det.
And I personally have him very high on the list. Uh-huh. So he could make a song about anything.
Uh-huh.
And that was another thing. Maybe we could talk about that afterwards, because Ghostface kind of came on a little bit after, but I wanted to talk about wrapping up the gangster rap thing.
Used him.
And I think 50 Cent was the last one, the one that finally made everybody tired of gangster rap. Okay. Was 50 Cent. And he comes on after that era where you had so many artists that are kind of mid-level, mm-hmm. is what hip-hop was. You know, and then the big fish was Jay-Z, and Snoop was always relevant, but Snoop only really had Doggy Style and some people say the Dog Father.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, Snoop was just kind of he's still talented, but he didn't put any great albums out after that, I don't think. He even joined No Limit Records.
I felt like he became a brand, like an industry. Yeah. It's like it was more of a
a brand is good. That's good. What it is.
Yeah, he could put Snoop on everything,
right?
But it didn't matter. It wasn't really about music anymore.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and he could still do it. He could still make a song if he wanted to, but. It seemed like almost like his heart wasn't in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, who was carrying the West Coast after that? I don't know.
Mm. So, what heter det? 50 Cent.
I found out about it.
Var det första du hörde om 50 Cent? Och när?
50 Cent has a song, I hope it's on Spotify, called How to Rob. Have you ever heard it?
Jag vet inte.
There's a song called How to Rob where he names... and it's on like a mixtape. He was the one who started. He had like a whole mixtape game.
Okay.
And he has How to Rob, where he talks about robbing celebrities.
Okay.
Sounds a little different, right?
Hey, yo, the bottom line is, I'm a crook with a deal. If my record don't sell, I'm a robber still. You better recognize, nigga, I'm straight from the street. This industry niggas is starting to look like something to eat. I snatch Kim, tell Puff, you wanna see her again? Dance your ass down to the nearest ATM. I have dreams of fucking the R&B bitch. But I wake up early and bounce with all her shit when I apply pressure. Son, it ain't even funny. I'm about to stick Bobby for some of that Whitney money. Brian McKnight, so it's like a funny song. Mm-hmm.
He's rapping about robbing people, and then he talks about Jay-Z on there.
Okay.
And Jay-Z mentions him in a song.
Okay.
Where he's like, I'm about a dollar, what the fuck is 50 cents? That's the line is from 50 okay. Cent. He took over. He hit the scene in 2003.
But this was in the late 90s. Han hade väl... Dr. Dre i ryggen, va? Det var väl han som producerade?
Nej, inte här, men
när han verkligen slog igenom, var det inte Dre som producerade?
Yeah, that's what we didn't mention, Eminem. That's another one in the 90s.
Men kom inte 50 före Eminem?
Nah, Eminem found 50 Cent.
Ja, så var det! Just det, men då måste vi prata om Eminem.
Yeah, kan. Eminem came, I loved him at first. Mm-hmm. I always liked something different. Mm-hmm. I heard about him in 97, maybe?
Oh, okay. 98.
And I heard about this white rapper. I was like, white rapper? Get the fuck out of here. And he was funny. And he had some stories. And he was like a good freestyle MC.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is like my fucking dream. Yeah. Like this rapper. I don't care about him being white, but everything. White made him different. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Men han hade en rytm i sin...
He's a rap nerd. He's a rap nerd.
Som var helt, alltså som nästan var liksom, som man aldrig hade hört förut.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Big Daddy Kane last episode, and that was one of his inspirations.
Oh, okay.
Big Daddy Kane with using syllables and moving them around. Remember how he changed the rhyme scheme in the middle of a rhyme and starts rhyming on a different word? Stuff like that. And now Eminem is just a technician. He's the best technician in the game.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody surpass him.
No.
It's just insane what he does.
And
from a rapper point of view, somebody who wrote rhymes before, it's just like, it's amazing.
Har du sett det YouTube-klippet när de bryter ner hans struktur?
No.
Jag ska visa hur vi kan länka till det.
Okay.
Jag har skickat ut det förut, så, men det är helt fantastiskt hur de bryter ner. De börjar med ganska enkla strukturer i rap, i bars, liksom, och sen Och sen går de till lite mer komplicerade strukturer. Och sen kommer Eminem och bara... Alltså han gör det så komplext så att det blir... Alltså det är en helt ny nivå.
Yeah, it's insane. Especially his later stuff. It seems like he was focusing more on the technical aspect than... I think he lost his imagination. Really. Mm. Like if I could talk to Eminem, if I could sit down and talk to him, I think I might have told you this, that I would tell him to do a concept album.
Mm-hmm.
Where he doesn't talk about himself, he talks about a character, like a true detective type thing, where he does an anthology of where this album is going to be about this story and only this story, the next album is going to be about this story, only this story.
Oh, okay. Oh. But he's
good enough to do it. It's not many, and the person who's done it is Ghostface.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about him next episode. But yeah. Eminem, you can't go talk about rap without talking about when he pops onto the scene in about 98, 99. With the Slim Shady LP. And
Har du sett the Defiant Ones?
Yeah.
När Dre pratar om att han hittar Eminem.
Yeah.
Och går in. Jag vet inte om jag riktigt tror på den storyn. Men han säger att han går in och bara, jag har jobbat på det här beatet. Och han bara sätter på beatet. Och inom Eminem bara börjar rappa direkt.
I believe it.
Hi, my name is... My name is... Slim Shady.
Because he probably... I believe it. Because I walk around with... I got a bunch of verses in my head right now. So if you put a beat on, I would pop out a verse. You might think, damn, John made that shit up right there.
Nej, men det är klart det finns låtar som har skapats på det sättet. Men det är också låter som en lite för bra också.
No, I'm sure that... He came up with the hook, and then he wrote the whole thing later.
Mm.
That's probably what Dr. Dre thought. That's how I took it when I saw it. You might be talking about the hook. The hook is easy to come up with. You hear the beat, you can get inspired and make a chorus.
Like nej, men han hade musiken klar. Han hade redan börjat jobba. Right. Han ville bara ha någon som... Han försökte hitta någon som passade till den musiken.
Mm.
Och så hittade han Eminem. Och så var det så. Och så gick de in, och Eminem bara direkt bara boom.
Yeah.
Och nästan färdigt.
I can believe that he had the hook. I won't believe that he had the whole... Unless he had written it before.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole, I mean, I could see it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he didn't make it up on the spot. Like Jay-Z says he does. I don't believe that shit.
Nej.
You walk in the studio.
Yeah, jag hörde också någonting om att Jay-Z aldrig skriver ner sina texter.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
tror du också?
It's too complicated. His stuff is too complicated. Bullshit.
Vad är det mer? Vad tror du mer som är, som folk brukar fronta grejer som att de är, vad tror du mer är bullshit? Alltså som rappare har sagt genom, för att få sig själv att framstå som bra.
It's mainly that about the writing
and
freestyling. Like now, freestyle battles aren't even freestyles anymore.
Nah.
And that's an art form. I've been down the YouTube rabbit hole, watching battles, looking for old. Like I used to look for old Eminem battles that I might not have seen. There's an Eminem battle. He loses because I was trying to see who beat Eminem. I forget this guy's name. I wish I remembered it just to give him props. But this guy beat him, and he was known as a great battle rapper. And he made a acronym out of Budweiser while he was battling Eminem.
Okay.
And people didn't really get it at first. Okay. And then they got it.
Okay.
Because Eminem was sipping, as he was rapping, Eminem was acting bored and he's sipping his beer, you know, shit like that. He was sipping a Budweiser. And then he was like, he said something about him sipping a beer. And he said, bitch, you do whatever I say every rip. He made Budweiser, and he said a word, each letter from Budweiser, spelling it out.
Say det där igen, jag förstod inte riktigt.
Okay, Eminem
sipping a Budweiser.
Disrespect him by sipping his Budweiser.
Right.
So the dude is battling him,
and
then he starts, he like points at him, he says, bitch, you do whatever I say every rip.
Oh, that spells Budweiser.
Yeah.
Holy
he
shit.
Spelled Budweiser. And that's the type of shit I love.
Wow.
With rap. Whereas, like, these dudes, that's real. To me, that's real hip hop. Shit like that.
Wow.
That's and then was like, what? And then everybody gets it late.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this motherfucker just spelled out Budweiser with words.
That's one of that's one of the quickest, most creative things I ever heard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, whoa. And it's like, he gives that guy props. The dude's only known for battle rapping, but he gives him props as one of the best MCs.
Oh.
And just like Cannabis is another one. There was another beef, Cannabis and LL Cool J, or he's known as a battle rapper, but it's just like these dudes can't make an album.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eminem does.
Mm.
But yeah, 50 Cent comes on. He's discovered by Eminem, and shit, he in the club comes out and fucking changed the game.
Ja, för den var väl det var väl en av de största hiphop hittarna på många många år också.
Yeah. And he they
kanske någonsin va, eller? För den var etta så jävla länge, minns jag.
I don't know if it's the biggest ever, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is.
Uh-huh.
But they packaged that perfectly too, man. They had he's got that story, the drama behind it, the shot 9 times and all that stuff.
Just det.
And then it turned into like rap, like real had to be a part of the rap.
Mm.
And that's where I think it kind of went too far.
Just
det. It got to where that was the whole, that was the, to me, that was the end of the gangster rap era, was 50 Cent bringing gangster back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm not just talking about the streets. I lived it.
Mm.
I got shot 9 times. I'm still here. Mm. I rap different than I used to rap because I got shot in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this shit's real.
Mm.
And then, you know, other people started having to come out talking about they got shot and shit. Everybody just trying to be too real. It got to only street. And I stopped liking it that much.
Jag minns att det var de började, alltså det började komma fram i, det gick så långt att det kom fram i annan popkultur, i tv-serier och i filmer, så skulle de liksom, det var nästan som att de drev med rappare så bara, okej, jag måste bli skjuten för att få street cred.
Yeah, yeah.
Det var i Sopranos, var det en rappare som var på sjukhuset som hade blivit, eller skulle bara säga, vi borde fixa så att du blir skjuten.
Mm,
så hans kompis sköt honom i, jag vet inte om det var i benet eller någonting, eller i arslet eller något sånt där. Så kom han in och så jag tror det var samma sak i Atlanta. Har du sett Atlanta?
Yes, of course.
Var det inte någon sån grej också? Du vet, de försökte få mer liksom, han skulle ha mera street cred på något sätt. Så att det, ja, men jag förstår det går för långt.
Yeah, it went too far because then the game come out, game had been shot 4 times.
Just det.
So he was talking about that, he got shot, and then everybody got goddamn shot, man. It's like uh-huh. We get it, man. Uh-huh. It's so hard. I get it. Uh-huh. I get it. Now what else? What's next?
Oh, exactly.
So you know, then 50 Cent's record stopped selling as much with the next albums, and I think everybody got tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the next. The next phase of rap music.
Just det. Men bra avrundning av avsnitt 2 av AMK Hip Hop History.
Yeah.
När 50 Cent cashade in på gangster rap grejen och dödade allting.
Should we go out on the 50 Cent song?
Ja, vi gör det.
Of course he begins the song with himself getting shot.
Was that 9 shots?
I didn't count. That's a good song though, man. Dr. Dre. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And niggas trying to take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gon' see. Better watch how you talk when you talk about me. Cause I'll come and take your life away. Many men. Many, 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 many men. Wish death on me, Lord, I don't cry no more. You gotta have a record for the most gun cocks in the album. Pussy niggas put money on my head, gone. Get your refund, motherfucker, I ain't dead. I'm the diamond in the...